Welcome into your Friends with Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Brennis, and I'm joined by Ray Kuhn. How are you doing, Ray?
I'm doing all right. I mean, I wish we could be talking about a more exciting team. I mean, if you're a Royals fan, I don't mean to offend you, but if you're looking for fantasy value, you're going to have to look a little hard.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that maybe I'm not very well liked at Friends with Fantasy Benefits because I seem to be covering, even if it's by my own choice, the Marlins and the Royals. So I don't know if I'm either not liked or if I'm just bad at picking teams or if it's a little bit of both.
Well, I mean, again, yeah, there's not much here, and you look at it and say, all right, there's two, three guys in their lineup with fantasy value, but if you're playing in deeper leagues, you're playing in AL-only leagues, these guys are going to be on a roster. All nine of these guys that are in their projected opening day lineup are going to be rostered in your league if you're in an AL-only league. So you have to – so you still have to pay attention. So don't turn off this podcast. If you turned it on expecting the Astros or the Cardinals or the Cubs or one of those teams and instead it's the Royals – don't turn it off because these guys still – there's fantasy leagues where these guys are going to be owned and are going to have value.
Well, I would hope that they don't expect to hear one of those other better teams considering that we marked the podcast as the Kansas City Royals team preview. So if you can't even get past that and expect a different team, I think we got a bigger problem.
I just want to make sure here. Just want to make sure.
Well, why don't we jump right into the hitting side of things and – let's just go down the lineup that Roster Resource has because it gets increasingly worse in terms of fantasy value. The player with the most fantasy value, and this can be argued, I think is Whit Merrifield this year. Do you agree?
I agree. I definitely agree. And I mean, the crazy thing about Merrifield is I think it was 2015. He came up, did some things. He was pretty good, had a nice stretch, and then he kind of cooled off. Forgot about him. And even last year, it was like, all right, whatever. He's on the team. He's had some spurts. He's shown some stuff in AAA. I mean, he's older. He's 29. So we're not dealing – he was never a top prospect. But if you take a step back and if you look at the season he actually had and then if you look at the skill set and some of the metrics, we're talking about a legitimate player here. I mean, he hit 19 homers, stole 34 bases. So, I mean, you can't ignore that. You can't forget about it. He's batting leadoff. So, at the very least, you're maximizing your plate appearances with him. So, I mean, the Royals aren't wasting any time. They're getting their best Perez is probably a better hitter than Merrifield. But they're getting their best fantasy asset out there to start off the game. He had a 22% line drive rate last year. Solid 40% fly ball rate, so we can believe in 20 homers. 85% contact rate. So, to me, I don't know about you. I don't think we should expect anything different than what we saw last year. And what we saw last year was pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's tough to say that we're going to be able to really expect much difference, only for the fact that this lineup, as of right now, and obviously they could bring back a player like Hosmer or Kane or Moustakas, or they could even bring back two or three of those players. So there could be some fantasy value as the offseason progresses. But as of right now, he's probably their most complete hitter in terms of everything that he's able to give you. I mean, he's probably going to give you the most runs on the team. He's going to give you the most stolen bases more than likely. Now, there's a chance that he doesn't and that Mondesi does, but he could have the best average. He could have the second or third most home runs on the team. He could be hitting at the top of the lineup, or he could be your number three hitter because of the lack of depth that they have in this roster in general. So I do think that he's going to provide you some value, and it is nice that someone like him is going to be able to play second base. He has the potential to gain outfield eligibility during the season. He kind of plays everywhere. You know, he played some first and third last year. He played left and right field. So there's value in a player like Merrifield.
You know, there is. And I mean, let's stick with the value. Let's go behind the dish and talk about Sal Perez. I guess the first thing is, do you think he's going to stay healthy?
I'm not sure if he's going to continue to stay as healthy as he has in years past. I do think that he's going to be more likely to get nicked up this year, but I'm not sure if he's really going to be missing any time because of how barren this team is. I'm not sure if they're really willing to take him out of the lineup because of how much he's going to be needed. I mean, I guess you could, and then you're going to basically be you're going to be relying on Drew Butera, but I mean, he had 177 plate appearances last year, while Perez had 499. Typically, catchers don't have anywhere near that type of plate appearance, so I think you're going to expect to see more of the same from him, but those counting stats could easily be driven down because of the lack of value in other players that this team has.
Yeah, you're right, because, I mean, 87 runs, 80 RBIs, 27 homers. They're playing time dependent and obviously, like you said, lineup dependent. And I think there's a concern for both. I mean, again, his power went up last year as far as the underlying metrics. So that's why we saw the career high home runs. He's 27. As he starts to age, we should at least expect to see those metrics kind of go the other way. So maybe 20 homers, 70 RBIs, 22 homers if you want to give him a little bit of a discount. I mean, he's still one of the top catchers, but I'm not sure that I want to overpay for him given the situation.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for me to really try to acquire him. He's not one of the catchers I'm in love with. I'd rather, if I was going to take an earlier catcher, I'd rather try to take someone like Realmuto, or I'd rather kind of wait on catcher. I'm not one to always go for a catcher early, but
same here.
It's just because of the value, you know. Sure, the 27 home runs is nice, but can I really expect that he's going to hit me 27? And if he doesn't, how big of a difference is it going to be if I had waited maybe an extra 100 picks to grab another catcher? What's the big difference, you know?
Yeah.
The next catcher that you pick at 100 picks later may hit 15, and, you know, if he only hits 22 or something, then is that seven home runs really worth that 100 spot difference?
Exactly. I mean, agree. I mean, we just did the Angels podcast, and Maldonado hit 14 homers last year. Granted, the average was 30 points lower, but still, if Perez goes down to 20 homers and Maldonado hits 14 and maybe he gets lucky with one or two more, we're not talking about much of a difference, and I feel like I can make up the batting average somewhere else.
Exactly. I mean, it's going to be tough for me to say, yeah, let's just go 100% in on Sal Perez, especially given the fact that this lineup is weak and he has played so many innings over the last few years with more increasing injuries. It's tough to say that he's going to be the benchmark for health from catcher this year.
No, totally, totally. So, I mean, again, yeah, is he going to be rostered? Yes. If the price is right, situation is right, yeah, maybe he'll end up on one of my teams, but I doubt it. And as far as, I guess we can say, I mean, here, let's just kind of tick down quickly here if we're going to go through the rest of their positions. Maybe even we do a little word association. Brandon Moss at first base. What's first thing comes to your mind when I bring up Brandon Moss?
I need a new team.
I mean, again, he hit 22 homers last year, but with a 207 average and power's all over the place now. So let's hope they re-sign Hosmer.
Yeah, and as of right now, Roster Resource actually has him plugged as a potential platoon with Hunter Dozier. I'm not really sure if that's going to happen, considering that Dozier's played third base and outfield. But they may kind of want to try to get Dozier, given the fact that he's one of the prospects, or the organization's better prospects, they may want to try to get him into the lineup. And given the fact that they have certain players in the outfield like Gordon and Bonifacio and Orlando, they could try to play him there, but their best chance to play him may be at first base with Brandon Moss. So,
all right, yeah, Dozier's one of their top prospects, but I think 2014, 2015, he was like a borderline top 100 prospect. But again, 489 minor league games. He only has 54 career homers and is a career 261 hitter. So yeah, let him play, but I'm looking in another direction.
Yeah, I am also. It's just given the fact that this team is most likely not competing this year, if you were the organization, wouldn't you rather see what Dozier has at the big league level rather than play Brandon Moss every single day?
Exactly, because, I mean, with Moss, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get a home run here or there, or you're going to get a strikeout, or you're going to get a fly ball and whatever. It's not much. So
exactly.
So, I mean, maybe Dozier turns into another Merrifield. It's possible.
What are your thoughts on Jorge Bonifacio and Raul Mondesi?
All right, Bonifacio, he showed some flashes last year. He really did. Then he kind of tapered off. 17 homers, 422 plate appearances. So there's something there. I mean, again, as it stands now, the guy's going to probably get 600 plate appearances. So, I mean, you can do the math, and you're dealing with a decent amount of home runs. But he's not going to hit much more than 250. He's going to get exposed if he truly plays every day. Contact rate dropped every single month last year. So, is that, I mean, even as far as, you know, on a metrics basis, his power doesn't stand out as anything but average. So, I mean, he's going to probably get drafted. He's going to find his way on good amount of teams depending on the league setup. But he's 24, so you want to think maybe there's some upside, but I'm not sure that there is. Mondesi, on the other hand, there's upside in the fact that he's super young, super toolsy, but again, he's never shown it yet. But what's keeping me at least on the hook, whether it's right, wrong, indifferent, is that speed. It's there for him to steal 30 bases. I mean, let's just do this. If I say 25 for Mondesi stolen bases over under, which side are you taking?
I think the only reason I would take the under is because of how his approach at the plate is. I'm not sure if, depending on how he starts the year off, if he starts the year off real poor, they could easily put him down in the minors just for the fact that they feel he may need some more work on his plate approach. And then it's going to be tough for him once he comes up. Now, I agree that he can get stolen bases and punches, but it's the same reason I'm not a big Billy Hamilton fan. I just think his on-base skills are just so bad that at any time, if he doesn't get playing time because of those on-base skills, it's going to make it tough for him to bring the one thing of value to the fantasy table.
I agree. I mean, and the thing is, he even does have power. He has some power there, but yeah, can't steal first base and the contact skills are lacking, but the way the Royals are presently constructed on January 15th, if it's not Mondesi, is it Chelsea Cuthbert who moves from third to short and then Dozier plays third? Is it Ramon Torres? Like, they really have no other options. So to some degree, that does work in Mondesi's favor.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It does work in his favor as a result of that. I'm just not sure if they're going to be happy with his lack of ability to get on base. But they may be willing to play through it, kind of like what the Reds did with Billy Hamilton.
Exactly. I mean, it's one of those things where if you punt stolen bases or if you get to the end of your draft and you find yourself lacking, it's worth the jump to throw him on your bench, to throw him in your middle infield spot if there's really no other options that stand out from the crowd, see what happens. If you get sent down, you drop him.
Exactly. What are your thoughts on Jorge Soler and Alex Gordon? Is there any fantasy value for you this year in either of those two players, or are these just kind of deep league lottery tickets in which you expect them to be able to get at bats?
Gordon at this point is that lottery ticket that was scratched off, lost, and thrown on the ground. He's 33 years old now. He hit .208 last year. He never had power. Yeah, I know he's the best defensive left fielder in the game. I get that. As a baseball fan, I appreciate it. But as a fantasy player, I could care less. So, I mean, he got his contact back up to 74% last year. No power. He's hitting too many balls on the ground. By default, he's going to bat in the middle of the order. He did last year, and he only had 45 RBIs. And they were a better team. So I'm running as fast as I can away from Gordon. But again, in AL-only league, he's going to get drafted because he's going to get at-bats, for whatever the heck that means. Solaire, I got to tell you, last year when they got him from the Cubs for Wade Davis, wrote an article for Roto Professor, and I was pumped about Solaire. I thought he was a sleeper option. I thought this guy was going to hit 25, 30 home runs. I mean, again, he did do that last year. But 24 of those home runs came at AAA, and he only hit 144 in the majors. So, yeah, the reasons that made me think he was a sleeper option last year didn't necessarily go away, other than the fact that he had a terrible season. He's still 25 years old. He's very raw. Maybe if they give him a consistent chance, he can do that, but the batting average is not going to be there. So unless he hits the cover off the ball in spring, and granted spring you have to take with a grain of salt, he's most likely not going to be somebody I draft.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm not really looking to touch Alex Gordon unless I'm in an AL-only league, which I'm not, so I won't. And Solaire, I guess if I won a lottery ticket, he's available at the last pick of a draft, but I'm just not sure if that contact rate is going to be there in the majors, that I can expect that he'll be able to provide me fantasy value, considering all the power that's there in the rest of the league that can provide me a better average. Are there any other hitters you want to talk about?
No. I mean, Billy Burns, yeah, he can run, but who knows? Cuthbert, no thank you. I mean, there's really nothing. I think at this point we should just get into the pitching staff, and let's just jump right into Danny Duffy. What do you think about him?
I think that Danny Duffy is great when he's healthy. The question is he going to be healthy, and is he going to be able to be relied upon when the team around him is just not as great overall? It's obviously worse defensively. There is not a lot of run support at this current time with what were our expectations for him to be able to go out and get a ton of wins. So I think that he'll provide you good stats, but in a wins league, you may want to avoid him because I'm not sure if he really gets even more than 10.
I mean, that opens up. I mean, he had 9 last year. That opens up the whole wins thing. That's a different podcast for a different day, going through the whole probability of wins and how pitchers can pitch well and not get a win and whether quality starts better than a win. I'm not going to go off on that tangent just to make the Kansas City Royals podcast longer. But I do like Duffy. He's still young. He's 26. 65% first pitch strike rate last year, which I like. I think we've seen enough from Duffy to have solid expectations that he can be a mid-fantasy rotation starter. And I'm not necessarily going to chase wins at the expense of my ratios. So yeah, he's probably the Royal that I'm most likely to own.
All right. Well, I'm in that same boat. He's the Royal I'm most likely to own as well. The only other person who I'm really liking in this bullpen, I think, is Nate Kearns. And the only reason for that is just because I know that he's got good strikeout potential. And he's got the second best strikeout potential of all the players, I think, on this team. He may even have the best, depending on who you ask. But the problem is he's coming back from thoracic outlet syndrome. And while we've seen what it's done to players like Tyson Ross and Matt Harvey, I'm not sure if he's really going to be able to be someone who's relied upon this year. But I think if he's able to come back and be healthy, that he's probably the second best value of this entire rotation. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, he had a 50% ground ball rate last year, so that's a good thing. Success against righties. Per Baseball HQ, he had a 358 expected ERA compared to a 417 actual. 119 whip, which is good. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're onto something with Carnes there. And the other pitcher that some people like, I think people like more than me, is Jake Junis. What do you think about him?
I liked Junis when he was coming up last year. I thought that he would be a player that could get a lot of value. But now that the team is worse, I'm not sure if he's going to be able to be relied upon as much. He only had 80 strikeouts in 98 in the third innings. He had a 4.3 ERA. He had a 1.28 whip. Not sure if he's going to be able to get that better this year because the defensive lineup around him is worse, so he may give up some more hits as a result, unfortunately. But I like the potential that he brings to the table.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's worth a late-round flyer. Of the two, I do like Carnes over him, but... And I mean, the rest of their rotation, I don't know about you. Both these guys had 5 ERAs last year. They'll eat innings. Strikeouts are down on both of them. Ian Kennedy, Jason Hamill, I'm staying away.
Yeah, I'm staying away too. I thought that there was potential for Kennedy last year because he always had an ERA in the fours. He had good strikeout numbers. His whip was always somewhat high because he did have walks and he gave up a bunch of hits. But last year he was battling some injuries. I think if you're going to have a bounce back of the two, I'm more likely to bet on Kennedy. And I could take him in a deep league, 16-plus teams. If you have deep rosters, there's a likelihood that I may go grab someone like him. But I'm pretty much avoiding him until I see what he's able to do during the year. I'm pretty sure I'm avoiding all of these players except for Duffy until I can see what they really do during the year.
Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, if we're going to go to the bullpen, I guess we could probably say the same thing about their closer, Kelvin Herrera.
Yeah, it's tough for me to want to get behind him. He walked 20 batters in 59 and a third innings. He had a 4.25 ERA. Yeah, he had 26 saves, but at the same point in time, this team is going to be worse than last year. The likelihood that they're going to be able to get him 26 saves again is pretty slim. Maybe he gets like 18 to 20, which is still valuable when you're chasing saves in certain types of leagues. But a closer that carries a 4.25 ERA and a 1.35 whip that was your closer basically the entire year, not really a fan.
Yeah, and he's 28, so he's still young. He was on the DL last year, pitched through an injury, so who knows? I mean, he's going to get drafted. There's a possibility that he's going to get traded over the summer as the Royals, as we, pretty obvious they're going to be out of it. So, yeah, if I had to draft him, maybe I would, but he's not on my target list.
Are you looking at Brandon Mauer or Ryan Buchter at all?
Buchter is the better pitcher of the two, but the fact that he had a great year last year, 289 ERA, 1.07 whip. But the fact that he's a left-hander means that he's less likely to go into the closer role, so he's going to be more of a setup man. Mauer, first glance, you look at him, he had a 6.52 ERA last year and a 1.55 whip.
Those sound like good numbers.
And he spent half his year in San Diego, too. But crazy, and he saved 22 games last year. So if you want to talk about somebody who lucked into value because they were a closer, Mauer's at the top of that list. But his FIP was 393 last year, and he only walked 2.9 guys per 9 innings. So you take a little closer look, the picture starts to get a little bit better. He's the next in line for saves in this bullpen. If you ask me right now, I'm not sure there's any other options that they have other than a Buchter. But Moore has to be on your radar, but he doesn't warrant much more than that.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for me to really grab anyone from this bullpen. Maybe mid-season, if I'm in need of saves, I may take a speculative grab on Mauer if he's pitching well, or someone like a Kyle Zimmer, or even someone in the minors that they could get that could come up if they do move Herrera. But I'm not really sure that there's anyone in this. Let's face it, there's not really anyone on the Royals as of right now that I really expect to own in any capacity, just given the fact of where the price range is for draft day value or of where I expect them to finish the year given the injuries.
No, I think that's pretty accurate. You mentioned Zimmer. Almonte's another name, maybe at least keep in the back of your mind. Josh Stammen is the one guy who's generated some buzz over the past few years because the guy throws hard, but he struggled last year in the minor leagues. 5.56 ERA, 1.63 whip. I know a lot of people have talked about him maybe as a potential closer for the future. I don't think the future is 2018 if that happens. I think at this point the Royals should see what he does at the major league level. Maybe major league, better coaching. Maybe he'll get a little better. But, I mean, when you're walking about seven guys per nine innings as he did last year, I'm going to be extremely, extremely cautious with him. And he's somebody at least just to keep in the back of your mind for that August, September save situation. Should they trade Herrera? Maybe they trade Mauer too. Maybe he gets the control under wraps. Just keep it in the back of your mind, but he shouldn't even be on a draft day list.
I agree. Is there anyone else that you want to touch on?
No, I mean, to me, the big thing here is that we're doing this podcast, recording it January 15th. There's a ton of free agents left to be signed. Three of those free agents belong to the Royals in Hosmer, Moustakas, Kane. As far as we understand from reading the tea leaves, the only one that they've kind of had an offer out to been interested in signing is Hosmer. They do sign Hosmer. Obviously, we get rid of Brandon Moss. Maybe we get rid of Soler and they platoon at the DH, whatever. From a fantasy perspective, Hosmer going back to Kansas City isn't going to be the best thing for his value. It's going to maybe increase Merrifield, Perez drop. Again, I'm not even sure that they're going to sign any of these three, but you just kind of have to take it with a grain of salt that it might happen. But then that just gives them one or two more players that are fantasy relevant than they have now.
Exactly. I'm not really looking to do much on this team until the rest of the free agent dominoes fall. And if they bring some players back, then they're going to be a little bit more exciting. But we'll see what happens during the rest of the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, if they bring anyone in, I would expect it to be more in the kind of bargain basement, minor league free agent, non-roster invitee kind of basket.
Exactly. Ray, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached and what you're working on?
I am on Twitter at Ray_Hewn_28. You can find me all over the baseball coverage. I have a weekly article on Friends with Fantasy Benefits and podcasting all over the draft guide. I also write for Roto Professor, and now that I kind of have the draft guide to a point, I'm going to start working in on the rankings for the end of the month, at least the first stab at positional rankings, and see where that goes. And Ben, what about you?
I can be reached at BBrennisFWFB. You'll be able to find me during the season with Ray, with Evan Peterson, and with Mike the Rotocop on one of our weekly shows. You'll also find me with Matt Thompson and Mike Werner on the Prospect Podcast. You'll be able to find me and Eric Mackey on the Basketball Podcast. You'll also find a couple of my articles in the draft guide that we're bringing out for our listeners. And I will be doing some multi-positional eligibility, an article for that. I'll be talking about points leagues, and I'll be even doing a couple of position previews and some tiers. So, from the rest of us at Friends with Fantasy Benefits, have a great off-season, everyone.